Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 180 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be going through Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to be doing an expose on a select part of Hebrews chapter 12. And my focus this morning, by God's grace, is going to be Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Sometimes it's helpful to just focus directly on scripture and break down a portion of scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, as the Old Testament says. So I'm going to read Hebrews 12 verse 1 from the King James Version. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm going to read it again. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to break down Hebrews 12 verse 1. We're going to do it in a few parts, right? So the first part I want to break down, focus on, is, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So he's basically talking about us being surrounded. Us being surrounded. Well, who are those that surround you? They're the people in your network, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends. These are all people that surround you. They're witnesses. They're witnesses. They're literally looking at your life. So the question I want to ask you today is, how do you live? Are you a witness for God to this cloud of witnesses that surround you? Or are you a person that leads those people astray? What kind of life do you live? Do people see your life and see Jesus? Or do they see your life and see the ways of the world? The Bible says, I believe in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, that let your light so shine. He did not just say let your light shine, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Are you just a person that in church you're a wonderful, wonderful person, but in the world you leave everything to be desired? You don't want to be that kind of person. Because again, one of the most effective ways to evangelize is by a godly lifestyle. If you look at Daniel and his three friends, they took their stands for Jesus. So that cloud of witnesses that surrounded them, they then saw that, wow, there was a God in Israel. So again, I encourage you today, there is a cloud of witnesses that surround you, including your children, including your spouse. Don't be a person that is a hypocrite. Don't live a lie. Be a good example for Christ. I'm telling you, your children, they copy what they see their parents do. So what kind of example are you setting for them? Whether you like it or not, there are witnesses everywhere. They are witnesses to your life of faith. Now, the second thing I want to focus on here is, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Because the Bible kind of parses two things that you're supposed to lay aside. First, it talks about weight. And then secondly, it talks about the sin which doth so easily beset us. So what's a weight? Well, think about it. This verse gives the connotation of running a race. Well, here's the thing. If you're carrying weights, then that's going to make it really hard to run with any kind of speed. If you're carrying weights, you're going to be worn out a lot faster. If you're carrying weights, there's a much higher probability that you will not complete your race. So what are these weights? These weights are the things of the world. They're the distractions of the world. I'm telling you this, brethren. Sometimes you may not actually be living in sin, but you're so engrossed with, you're so wrapped up in so many things of the world that your spiritual life becomes very unfruitful. In fact, there is a parable of the sower, you know, where he sowed seed on different ground and everything. And you see, there was one of the interpretations that Jesus gave that, oh, that these people, some of these people hear the word of God, I'm paraphrasing, and they receive it with joy. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it away and becomes unfruitful. Like, I ask you this, how do you spend your hours? How do you spend your days? Like, if you're spending 7-8 hours on social media, 4-5 hours chatting with your friends, 3-4 hours watching TV, and you sleep for most of the other time, and then, you know, you spend like 2 minutes on God, it's going to be really hard for you to grow spiritually. That is just the truth. Because the thing is, if you check your list of activities, many of those things that you spend so many hours on that command such huge amounts of your time, ask yourself this question. Are those the things that God has called you to live on earth for? Are those the things that the Lord has called you to live on earth for? So just, I'm not saying don't have fun. I'm not saying don't relax. But again, the Bible says that we are temporary citizens on this earth. This is not your permanent home. This is not your permanent home. So I will just encourage you. What are those things that await? I'm telling you, just ask yourself, okay, let me look at my life. Because I promise you, it's good occasionally in life to perform some kind of self-assessment. So just ask yourself, what are those things I do with my hours? That, man, this thing, I spend so many hours on it, and there is no eternal benefit for it. Because I'm telling you, you want to not live thoughtlessly. You want to live as a person that is wise. You want to number your days. You want to apply wisdom to how you spend your hours. Because again, many people spend their hours on weights, but they don't spend their hours on things that actually matter for eternity. Like, you see some parents, they can spend hours watching TV. They can spend hours, you know, hanging out with the guys or hanging out with the girls. But then their own children, they don't spend time taking care of them. They maybe spend maybe 5 minutes of FaceTime with them. That's not how it's supposed to be. You've gotten your priorities all wrong. You did not come to this earth to hang out with the guys and hang out with the girls. So I'll encourage you, start decluttering your life of weights. Streamline your life. Let most of your life be spent on things that have eternal value. Now, the third thing I want to discuss here is not just weights. It says another thing you should lay aside is that sin that so easily besets you, right? That sin that so easily beset us. So what is that sin? What is that thing in your life that you know that, man, this thing is a snare for me? Again, many people have some kind of snare. For example, Moses, anger was his snare. Samson, women was his snare. David, women was his snare. What is that sin that so easily besets you? What is that sin that you find it so hard to beat or so hard to counter? You want to leave that thing aside. And I'm telling you, the earlier you deal with that problem, the better for you. If you keep postponing when you're going to deal with that problem, you're basically raising the probabilities that you'll be sucker punched by the devil. Because if you think about it, Moses, his problem of anger started off with him killing an Egyptian. We didn't deal with it then. And notice it was what, like 40 years later or more? Instead of speaking to the rock as God instructed him, he struck the rock. And don't people may say, oh, Devon, you're just being selective and picking those two times Moses was angry. Let me tell you this, Moses was very angry many other times. The original stone tablets that the Lord gave him of the commandments, like literally God inscribed it himself. What did Moses do to it? He broke it in anger. There were many times that Moses was angry with the Israelites. Just go and check scripture. Read the book of Exodus. I'm not making this up. Read the book of Exodus, you know, read the book of Leviticus, read the book of Numbers, right? You're going to see that, man, Moses got angry a lot. That anger was the sin that so easily beset him. Look at David. David, his women problem, many people think, oh, it's just Bathsheba. No. In fact, Saul, the Bible says that Saul gave David one of his daughters so that she could be a snare to him. So that she could literally be a snare to him. So you can almost say that, wow, Saul knew that, this woman may be something here for David, right? So just be careful. It's pornography. There are many young people, pornography is a snare for them. There are many people, it's money that is a snare for them. There are many people, it's just ask yourself, gambling may be their snare, right? And gambling doesn't always mean you just go to casinos. Gambling could also mean that, oh, wow, you're the kind of person that just makes crazy investments. You have this desire to get rich quick. And then you notice that time after time, you keep losing your family wealth. Like, I will encourage you, check your life, because I'm telling you, those problems, the thing is, the devil will not attack you in your area of strength. The devil will come after you in your area of weakness. The devil will come after you in your area of weakness. Jesus Christ, one of the famous things he said is that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Basically, he was saying that there is no easily besetting sin that the devil can come and use to attack me. So I'm encouraging you today. What is that sin that so easily besets you? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Look at Judas Iscariot. Money was his weakness. He did not deal with it. Many people think that, betraying Jesus and collecting, I think, 30 pieces of silver was his first. No, that was not his first mistake. Again, read your scripture closely. The Bible talks about how Judas Iscariot would dip his hands into the offering basket and pay for some money. So money was a weakness for him. So what is that thing that so easily besets you? Is it laziness? Is it laziness? Is it a loose lip? You see some people, 10 sentences they mention, 6 of them are some negative words. Check your life. I'm encouraging you today, check your life. What is that? Let me tell you this. Me, divine, as I'm talking to you here, I do have my weaknesses. And I'm praying to God to help me, right? So check your life. What are those sins that so easily beset you? Drop them now. The longer you let them persist in your life, the more you open yourself to destruction from the enemy. And then the final thing I want to say is this. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One thing I want to encourage you today is this. You need to be very methodical with your Christian race. You need to run it with patience. You need to pace yourself. A person that wins a marathon, a person that does well and finishes a race well, is not necessarily, there are many factors. Let me put it this way. There are many factors that go into winning a race. Because the critical thing is having steam power all through. Because many people, the world we live in today has this thrill-seeking mentality. Oh, this thing has to be fun. This thing has to be exciting before I run after it. But let me tell you this, and that's the problem. You see those people, they give their lives to Christ. And the first few days, first few weeks, or maybe first few months if they make it, they're on fire for Christ. But then those people have no foundation. They are just trying to live a thrilling Christian life. But the thing is, the Christian life is not just always ups and ups and ups. There's also downs. There's trials. There's tribulations. There's challenges. There's a cross you have to carry. Jesus' life was not all miracles and pleasing the people. No, he also had to carry a cross. He had to be nailed to that cross. He had to be buried. He had to shed his blood for our sins. So let me tell you this, there's going to be trials on your Christian race. That's why you have to be very patient. And honestly, that's why it helps to be very methodical and follow God's divine program for you to grow as a Christian. I really love that portion of scripture that says precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. The thing is, God is progressive. He wants you to keep growing, but he wants you to grow at a steady pace. He wants you to grow at a steady pace so that when you get to one level, you're very prepared. You learn all God wants you to learn at that level. And then you go to the next level and you become very prepared. And then you grow again to the next level. You become very prepared. God does not want you to be a half-baked Christian. So many people, they want this instant noodles Christian life where, they give their lives to Christ and then boom. No, that's not the way it works. It's a process. That's why you need to be patient with it. That's why you need to be patient with it. God is going to transform you continuously, right? The Bible says, again, I'm paraphrasing. But there's this portion of scripture that says that, you know, we look at our faces like in a mirror, right? And we're being transformed from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being transformed. Transformation takes time. Like, for example, there's this show I've seen back in the day about a person that maybe underwent like a body transformation. They probably weighed like 400, 500, 600 pounds at first. And then you then notice that, wow, this person, you know, over the course of time, you see at the end of the show, they show their picture and they're like 180 pounds and they've lost so much weight. Well, that was a process. It was a process. It was a process. It did not just come out of the blue. It took them time, but they had to be patient through the process. Many people that you see that lose weight and lose it successfully, they were very methodical. They were very patient. They were very strategic about their weight loss. But you see many people that they may lose weight dramatically and then boom, they gain all of it right back. Yes. They wanted like a quick fire regimen. They're like, oh, I want to drop 50 pounds in 1 month. So they do these crazy things, these extreme things. And then they end up losing their shirt, literally. Let me tell you this. That's what's the point of having a victory and then being backtracked, like going literally right back to your vomit, as against growing steadily, right? But people that truly lose weight and keep it off, they're people that just keep going with good habits. They're very methodical. They're very strategic. And then they win out in the end. So I want to encourage you today, run your race with patience. Pace yourself. I'm telling you, run that race with patience. Just make sure that every day you're trending in the right direction. Make sure every day you're growing in some way, shape, or form in your walk and in your relationship with God. That's just the truth. Because again, you want to be prepared as you grow. You don't want to like grow really quick and then poof, you fall right down. No, right? And again, final thing I will say, promise is the race that is set before us. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Notice the Bible did not say the race that is set before you and the race that is behind you. The race before you. You need to be forward looking in your Christian race. Stop looking behind. I love what Apostle Paul says. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press on toward the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look forward. Look ahead. Don't be like Lot's wife that turned back and became a pillar of salt. Don't be that kind of person. The Bible says, no man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Face forward. Stop looking back. God will take care of your past. Because some people, they are hamstrung by their past. They're like, man, I screwed up in the past. I used to do this in the past. I committed this sin in the past. I did this, I did that. And then it prevents them from growing in their walk with God. No, God is saying, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, what? All things have become new. That's the thing. When you give your life to Christ, all things pass away and every single thing becomes new. Forget about the past and press on. Keep looking forward. Keep looking forward. Even if like, oh, wow, my yesterday was not good. Forget about it. Focus on today. The Bible says, while it is called today, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing on. Keep looking ahead. Even if you've made mistakes in the past, it's okay. Just focus on the now and on the future. Be forward looking. Don't be hamstrung by your past. So for those of you that want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to receive a brand new beginning from the Lord, you want to establish a relationship with the Lord, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I'm a sinner. I confess all my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to set me free. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. I invite you into my life. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to honor you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for all of us that listen to this podcast, including myself. Father, give us the grace to be good witnesses for you. Everywhere we go, in every setting we find ourselves. Help us, Lord, to lay aside those distractions that keep us from being fruitful in our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to let go of those easily besetting sins. These are evil habits we've built up over the years. Help us, Lord, to let them go so it doesn't destroy us. Give us the grace to run our race with patience, growing according to your divine program. And help us to forget the past, but look forward to what you have in store for us. Because your word says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man what the Lord has in store for them that love him. We commit this weekend and the rest of our lives into your hands. Please just help us to honor you in everything that we do. And let the name of the Lord be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So for those that said the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. I'll encourage you to do three things. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's titled, The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer, 96 to 101. It will tell you specific things you should do, including how to study the Bible to grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible translation that you understand. I love the New Living Translation. Read it, meditate on it, do what it says. And again, if you do step one of what I told you to do, you'll know how to do step two pretty well. And make sure you're doing it every day. Number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches. They preach heresy. They preach things that are not consistent with the Word of God. That's not a place you want to be. That is absolutely not a place you want to be. So just find the place where you can hear the true, pure, and diluted Word of God. Fellowship with other believers. Read the Bible. Do what God's Word says. And you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Until episode 181, have a wonderful weekend and God bless you. Shalom.